Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, and can be found on page 7 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles or on the screens. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes.
And you see those healthy things like carrot sticks or celery stalks or maybe an apple sitting on a bowl of fruit, and you think, no, that's not quite it. So then you open the pantry door and look in there, and you see the wheat crackers that would be healthy for you, maybe a granola bar that wouldn't be too bad, and you think, no, that's not it either. Then you see the can of frosting, chocolate frosting, just sitting there waiting to be devoured. So you reach in, pull it off the shelf, take off the plastic lid, pull off the metal lid, get your spoon, and bite by bite, you just simply start enjoying the chocolate frosting. At first, it's just the best thing you've had and what you've been yearning for. Spoon keeps going into the can. Spoon by spoon by spoon by spoon by spoon. Now where are you in my story? Beginning to think maybe this wasn't the most brilliant idea. It's sort of like the story we have today. We're told about someone who thought he had a brilliant idea. Who doesn't want to live at the beach, right? You pay big bucks to live at the beach here in Southern California. It's easy to build a house at the beach. All you have to do is just simply lay down the boards, build your house, and you're ready to go. Open the door, you can either hear the babbling brook or see the ocean waves or wherever you've put your house on the sand, and you get to step outside in the sunshine, ready to go in the cool water, and as you step out into that warm sand, you feel it squish between your toes, and you think to yourself, life doesn't get any better than this. Then the rains come, the floods appear, the wind blows. It sounds a bit like today's weather forecast that we should have any moment now. And all of a sudden you find that the house of your dreams, all that you've worked for, is just simply washed away. Jesus said maybe there's a better way to build. Maybe build your house on a rock. Because when the rains come and the floods rise and the winds blow, the house is going to stand. Now, why does Jesus tell us this silly little story that you already know what the answer should be? If you're wise, you can tell from just what he said which house you should build. You don't need somebody to unpack this story for you or have it make any sense. So what's the whole point of this? It follows at a time when Jesus has been teaching his disciples and the crowd who gathered around them. You'll know 2 weeks ago we began an exploration of what we know to be called the Sermon on the Mount. We started with those list of 9 blessings that Jesus gives that were quite challenging as we unpacked them. And then last Sunday, we looked at the middle, if you will, of the story when he got to a teaching about prayer. And then today, we finished the story, really not a teaching, but an application of the teaching. What do you do with what I've told you? It's kind of like the teacher that sits there and says, okay, you've now heard the lecture, it's time to take out your pen and paper, and here's the test. What can you show that you've learned? So he gives you two choices, either be wise and build on rock or be a bit of a fool and build on sand and see what the outcome is when the storms arise. So if you'll bear with me for a moment, I'm going to take my Bible and you're welcome to pick yours up. We're going to go through a quick little run of what you missed on the Sermon on the Mount. So if you want to follow along, it's on page 4. Covers two chapters of three chapters of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 6, and 7. There are little wonderful pearls of wisdom found through here. It begins with those blessings, and then he tells you you're salt and light, and you need to share those gifts with the world. Then he talks about anger. Who among us has never had to deal with anger, either our own or someone else's? Then he talks about the problems that come into the world with a variety of things, such as what happens when people are unfaithful and commit adultery, or what happens in divorce, what really is going on there. It's actually a positive slant that he gives to women of that time. People don't realize some of the magnitude of what he speaks there was a protection for women. He talks about retaliation. All the time, we have opportunities for that. Then he says, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, you've heard, but he says to you, love your enemies. Harlan just gave a beautiful testimony about his prayer and a maturing of prayer to understand that sometimes you have to pray for people that are really not on your favorite list. It's a beautiful way to pray for your enemies. He talks about how you are to give to others. And then we get the passage about prayer that it's where we were last week in the story. Then he gives us some practical advice of building a spiritual life, lessons about fasting, tithing, things that we talk about in church to build your spiritual life. The end of chapter 6 is some of the wisest material you will find in the Bible, where it tells you not to worry. And how many of us spend our life worrying about things that are out of our control? We move into the last chapter. Do not judge. How many times are we guilty of doing that for someone else? We certainly don't want anyone doing that about our life, but we don't mind doing it to someone else. Then he has some thoughts, more thoughts about prayer and how to pray. And then you know there's that golden rule. This is where it appears if you've ever wondered where it came from. How to do unto others as you would want them to treat you. And then he ends with today's text. So you got to apply this wisdom. Here's where it gets hard. This is where the analogy of the two houses come in. It's easy to live in the world. Just to go along with the flow of the way life works, that's the house built on sand. But if you want to live on the house built on rock, you have to apply these teachings of Jesus, this wisdom that he's just shared to you on the mountaintop. What are you going to do with these lessons? How are you going to make an application of them in your life? How are you going to live out these things? How are you going to live out loving your enemies, turning the other cheek? If your neighbor needs your cloak, give them your cloak. How are you going to do those hard teachings that Jesus has just shared? Well, I would say from today's world, an analogy that you can use is going to the gym. It takes practice and exercise to build this kind of house, a house that is built on stone. Some of you have watched that show, The Biggest Loser, and you know what it's about. It's trying to get the people to lose weight. You've got the people coming on the show who've done what my opening illustration did. They spent their life eating the chocolate icing out of the pantry instead of the carrot sticks. You know, these people who are couch potatoes and have put on weight and have done no exercise, and they come on the show and they want to try to shed those pounds. Well, the secret is none of them are capable of shedding the pounds without the help of a personal trainer. Someone had to come along their side and be their coach or their teacher, if you will, their encourager, to want to do the hard work to turn their life around. Well, think of Jesus as that trainer for you. that coach, that person who is willing to walk with you in this journey, to help you find a way to build your life on rock. Choir just sang about it, how you do it stone by stone, rock by rock. You develop your prayer life. In time, you find that the prayers of your childhood just aren't going to cut it. So you keep learning how to pray until you find the prayers that work for you at this point in life. You learn to tithe. I've never found anyone who's been able to tithe just going from nothing to 10% at once. It takes a gradual process of learning that you can just let go of things because you can trust in God to be there for you. It's how we read Scripture. There's a lot of the stuff in this Bible that if you just try to begin at Genesis and read to the end, I say to people, you're wasting your time because you're going to get stuck somewhere along Leviticus or Deuteronomy or Numbers and never get to the end of the book to see the rest of the story. Start somewhere that's manageable and understandable. Pick a gospel to read or start with some Psalms. Begin somewhere that's, as Paul said, is milk until you can chew on meat. Then you can read some of the tougher parts of the Bible that are just terribly difficult to understand, even if you do have some teaching aids to get you through the text. And it's how we go out there and do justice in the world. We start slowly. We pick our cause. We show up in an event. We hold up a poster, we make a protest, we begin with small steps till it becomes a part of who we are and part of the foundation that we're building for ourselves and for what matters. So if you want to build this spiritual house on rock, you've got to do it stone by stone, rock by rock. And then we're reminded that as we build, there's a cornerstone. Was also in the anthem, the cornerstone is Jesus. And without that cornerstone, the rest of the building's just not going to hold up. The cornerstone is that piece of the construction that begins the whole process. You lay that first, and everything else is then built upon it. And without that cornerstone in your life, what life do you have? Really, the whole point of this ending piece of the Sermon on the Mount. And then you are asked to make the choice. How do you wish to build your home? And only you can answer that question. I cannot answer that for you. It has to be your decision. And that's how Jesus left it with the crowd that morning. He said, I've given you the material to build. Will you be wise or will you be foolish? The choice is yours to make. Amen.